and I've been serving there ever since. So if you're not sure where Senegal is, we're going to do a little exercise together. The kids are back in school, so I want you to raise your left hand like this. Everybody can do that, okay? And look at your own left hand or at your neighbor's left hand. And if you imagine this as the continent of Africa, okay, you have to use a little bit of your sanctified imagination here, okay? So this is the continent of Africa, roughly. And South Africa is down here, Egypt over here. So Senegal is right here on the knuckle of your thumb, okay? So that's where we are serving in the capital city of Dakar. We've been in the U.S. this summer visiting churches like Trinity and others. End of this month, we're going to be down at Liberty University recruiting some interns to come and spend six weeks with us next summer to get their feet wet and see what it's like to serve on the mission field. So that would be another prayer request that you could lift up before the Lord, that he might lead some of those students to come to Senegal next summer. And then we'll be heading back to Senegal in early October. So we do want to thank you for your partnership with us. But one other little thing, you know, it's back to school, right? The kids are back in school, and most of us aren't kids now, but I do have a quiz for you today, okay? Are you ready for a quiz? Not, maybe not. Okay, well, you're going to get a quiz whether you're ready for it or not. So you know, like when you're in school, you need to listen carefully, okay, and respond when called upon, okay? So we're going to do this little exercise, and I'm going to read a list of names. They're not going to be on the board here. You're just going to have to hear with your ears. We're going to read a list of names, and I want you to listen very carefully to these names and see if you recognize any of these names, okay? Maybe you'll recognize one or maybe all of them. Maybe none of them. We'll see, okay? So listen very carefully, okay? Get your listening ears on. Okay, here we go. So first name is K. Grot. Okay, and as we go along, I want you to count how many names you recognize, okay? Because at the end, I'm going to ask how many. Okay, so next name, Lester McKinnon. Okay. Ron Gray. The fourth name is Hak J. Kim. Next, Rudy Zadnik. Then we have David Lyons. Bruce Potter. Jim Panaggio, and John Stamboli. So that's the list of names. Okay, I hope you heard those well. Now, how many folks knew all of those names? Raise your hand really high. No, only my wife knew. Okay, right? Okay, what about five? Did anybody recognize five names? Raise your hand if you were. No? Okay, all right. Well, what about two? Did anybody recognize two names? I mean, we're not doing so good on our quiz here, but okay, so two names? No. Okay, so that's okay. That's what I expected, actually. I didn't expect you, except for my wife, I didn't expect you to recognize any of these names, but this is a partial list of names of individuals, people who played very significant roles in my spiritual journey, people who led me to Christ, people who took me to church, people who preached the gospel to me, people who discipled me. And I want to point out, remind us that for many of us, the folks who pointed us to Jesus and helped us grow, they're not famous people. They're not well known. They're not people that have ever written a book. They've never spoken at a big Christian conference, maybe. But they have still, each of those people have played significant roles in our lives. And I imagine if you sit that back and think about it this afternoon, you could probably list several names like that as well. So that is kind of our intro to our message here, which is called the No-Name Disciple Makers. The No-Name Disciple Makers. So let's pray, though, before we continue, and as we look into God's Word as well. Thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to be together, to gather together in your name, to worship you this morning and to look at your word together. Lord, we ask you to teach us from it today. Lord, help us to show us what you would have us to do differently. Lord, may your Holy Spirit enable us to obey what you convict us of, what you show us this morning, Lord. And we submit this to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and look at our passage, which is in Acts 11:19-26. Acts 11, that's on page 920 in the Pew Bible, if you want to look there. Acts 11:19-26. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version, slightly different from the ESV and the Pew Bible, but in any event, Acts 11, verses 19 to 26. So it begins here. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. So we're just going to pause there before we continue on. And so far, notice that we have the names of some places, but we don't have the names of any people yet, okay, mentioned here. But we're going to continue now in verses 22 and following. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Okay, there's a name we recognize. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. There's another name we recognize. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So we're going to be spending most of our time in verses 19 to 21 this morning. And as I said, the passage, I've entitled this sermon, The No-Name Disciple Makers. And so in this case, the key players in our passage, they're not named specifically, only by the pronoun them, some of them. That's all we know about them. I heard a message from a Pastor Vance Pittman of Hope Church in Las Vegas a year and a half ago or so, and it really struck a chord with me. And so I've borrowed liberally from his outline here. And as we've looked at this, as we continue on in this, let's set a little bit of the context of what's going on here, okay? We jumped right in Acts 11:19. And so we have a clue about what happened, what the context is. So we see reference to those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed. So that points back to Acts chapter 6, 7, and 8, and the stoning of Stephen, who was described as a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Stephen had performed these great wonders and signs among the people, and he was brought before the Jewish leaders, the Sanhedrin, and gave this long message, which was a very powerful message. But unfortunately, the Jewish leaders did not like what he had to say, and he was stoned to death. And then in Acts 8, verse 1, we read that on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Judea, of course, being the region where Jerusalem was located, and Samaria just to the north of that. And so here in Acts 11, in our passage today, we see a continuation, if you will, of this scattering. Our no-name disciple makers, it says that they traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. We're going to have a map here, I think, that was going to show you some idea about what's going on. So you see Phoenicia, farther north, Syria, or Cyprus, of course, in the Mediterranean Sea, and then Antioch, the city of Antioch. So Antioch, in fact, was the third largest city in the Roman Empire after Rome and Alexandria. So it was a large city, even though we don't know it today as that. But so some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And so that pronoun, that simple pronoun, them, T-H-E-M, that's going to be our 4 points. This is not a three-point sermon, this is a four-point sermon. But so the first letter is T, right? T, these people, they took God's mission personally. They took God's mission personally. Again, we don't know who they are, but we know a little bit about them. We know that they were from Cyprus and Cyrene. And Cyrene was in North Africa, okay, present-day kind of Libya, if you will. And so it's pretty cool, I think, that the first largely Gentile church was, in fact, started in part by Africans. So that's kind of a cool thing. But so we see that these people, they took God's mission personally. They didn't. Remember what happened. Okay, Stephen, the last guy who was really overt about his faith, what happened to him? He got stoned, right? So, okay, it's dangerous to do that, right? But these guys or gals, they did not lay low. They didn't fly under the radar, even after what had happened to Stephen in Jerusalem. No, they were spreading the word. They were telling the good news about the Lord Jesus. And we know that these were not apostles. They weren't pastors. They weren't big leaders. We know that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And so these were regular folks with regular jobs, but folks who had been transformed by the gospel, and they lived their lives accordingly. So one of those names I mentioned, Ron Gray, he was a regular guy, okay, when I was a freshman at Virginia Tech, and he was volunteering with the Navigator Collegiate Ministry, and he knocked on my door one night and asked me a very weighty question. He asked me, who do you think Jesus Christ is? And that was a very significant moment in my spiritual journey. And I continued on with Ron, or Ron invited me to study the Bible with him. We did that, and he spent a lot of time showing me, helping me learn who God is, who Jesus is, and how to obey him and how to live with him in union with him. And so Ron was a regular guy like these people from Cyprus and Cyrene. So they took God's mission personally. The second letter is H, right? And so here I've taken some liberties with my acrostic, but I said that they had the audacity. See, a had starts with an H. They had the audacity to cross cultural boundaries for the sake of the gospel. They had the audacity to cross cultural boundaries for the sake of the gospel. And that may not jump out at us like immediately when we read the passage, but if we think about this a little bit more carefully, we know that these believers sought out the Greeks, okay, or the non-Jews. Basically, a Greek was anybody that wasn't a Jew. Some translations use the word Gentiles. The ESV says Hellenists. But essentially, they were reaching out to people who were not Jews, okay? And so up until this point, the vast majority of the church was, the early church was made up of people who were from Jewish backgrounds, right? But now, this is a new thing. This is a bit of a different thing here. And so, and we probably, most of us probably don't appreciate just how different the Greeks or the Gentiles were from the Jews. But we get a little glimpse of that earlier in the same chapter in Acts 11, right at the beginning. So you remember Peter had gone to Cornelius, had eaten with him, this Gentile man, gone into his household. And so when Peter gets back to Jerusalem, he kind of gets called on the carpet, if you will. And it says that in verse 2, it says that the circumcised believers criticized him. That's Peter. They criticized Peter and they said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Now, I don't know if they were shaking their finger at Peter or not, but that's the gist that I get from that statement. That was an outrageous thing for a Jewish person to do, to go in to the home of uncircumcised men to eat with them. That was audacity. Of course, Peter was doing that in obedience to God because God had told him specifically to go do that and share. But these circumcised believers at the time, at that moment, They were not happy about that. And so we get a little bit of a clue as to how big this difference was, this cultural difference was. You know, we know some of those differences, right? The Gentiles, of course, ate pork, right? That was one of the things I learned as I was a young Christian. You know, if you're trying to remember Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Gentiles eat pork chops, right? That's easy, right? So we know the Gentiles eat pork chops. Okay, that's one difference. What else? Well, the Gentiles also ate all kinds of unclean animals that the Jews were like, no way, that's completely forbidden by the law. The Gentiles, of course, they worship many different idols, and their worship sometimes involved temple prostitution. So these were people with a very different set of morals and ethics than the Jews. But some of these most believers from Cyprus and Cyrene, they began to reach out to these crazy Greeks, okay, these wacky Greeks, and saying, hey, we're going to go tell them about the Lord Jesus too. And so, obviously, when we're in synagogue, we go to synagogues, missionaries, we know that we're having to cross a cultural boundary. There's a language where we need to speak in French or in Wolof in order for people to understand us. Of course, the Muslims there in Senegal, a little bit like the Jews, they don't eat pork either. Their manner of eating is different. You know, they don't have a plate with a knife and a fork. You sit around a large bowl on a table about yay big around, rice and fish and vegetables. It's very tasty. And we all sit around there and we eat with our right hand out of that one big bowl. Okay, it makes great for, it's very low on dishes, you know, but it's different, you know. I mean, it's a different way of eating. People dress differently. Men can have up to four wives in Senegal. That's common in Islam. Their religious practices are different, of course. They pray differently. And so many differences. And we knew that going in, and we're still learning, understanding how to deal with that. But even here in Norwood, even here in the Boston Metro, even here, there are cultural barriers, I would submit to you, that we need to cross to share the gospel with those not like us. There are people, of course, from other cultures, immigrant communities who maybe have recently arrived or maybe have lived here a long time. Yes, we need to reach out to those folks and share God's love with them. But also, if you will, people who I'll call longtime Americans, okay, people whose families have lived in the U.S. for generations, but people who have different values than us, different morals. They might dress differently. They might listen to different music. They might vote differently. And many of them, friends, brothers and sisters, probably wouldn't be caught dead walking through the doors of Trinity Community Church. Those people need the gospel. Those people need Jesus. And we need to share the gospel with them. And that's what these folks from Cyprus and Cyrene did. They had the audacity to reach across these cultural barriers, large and small, to share their lives and the good news. Well, let's continue on. So the next letter in our acrostic is E. And we say that they were empowered by the Spirit. They were empowered by the Spirit. It says that the Lord's hand was with them in verse 21, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The hand of the Lord was with these no-name disciple makers. Now that's a dramatic statement, actually, and we see that there were dramatic results. And throughout the Bible, when we see this phrase that the hand of the Lord was with somebody, the hand of the Lord was acting, that is a kind of a metaphor for the Holy Spirit's presence and power coming to bear. And there are many, many examples of that, but one of them is in the book of Ezra. And so this is after the people had been deported to Babylon, and it was a sad time in the history of the people of Israel. But God raised up Ezra to lead his people back to their homeland to rebuild the temple where they could worship the one true God, Yahweh. And so we see in Ezra chapter 7, Ezra writes this: "Praise be to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who has put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem in this way." Now, this was the king of Babylon. This was not a Jewish king. This was a foreign king. But Ezra recognized it was the God of their ancestors who put it into the king's heart to bring honor to the house of the Lord in Jerusalem who has extended his good favor to me before the king and his advisors and all the king's powerful officials. Because the hand of the Lord my God was on me, Ezra writing, I took courage and gathered leaders from Israel to go up with me. And so, in that case, a dramatic thing. Okay, the captive king said, yeah, you can go back to your homeland. You can rebuild your temple. Sure, no problem. So that was because the hand of the Lord was with them. And so that tells us, one of the things I think that tells us is that that sharing God's love with those around us is not about a strategy or a method or checking a box, but it's simply about the Holy Spirit working through us. You know, in John chapter 3, Jesus likens the Holy Spirit to wind. You know, we can think of the Holy Spirit as the wind in our sails, maybe. And in our case, if we extend that metaphor, we've been invited to get off the slave ship, you know, to no longer be slaves to sin. Many of us have already done that. We've been invited to come aboard a new ship, a ship where Jesus is the captain. But it's not a cruise ship. It's not a carnival cruise going around the Caribbean. It's a working fishing boat. And we all have a role to play as part of the crew of this fishing boat. We have a role to play. We need to discern which way the wind is blowing and raise the proper sail at the right time. We need to ask God for discernment to show how he is working and follow along in what he is showing us. Well, the fourth and final observation, of course, is the letter M. Comes from M, and it says we can say that they made an impact on their community and beyond. These unnamed disciple makers, they made an impact on their community and beyond. Remember, Antioch was a large city at the time, maybe about 500,000 people, an influential city. It was called the Queen of the East. Again, third in size behind Rome and Alexandria. And so whatever was going on there, we don't know all the details, you know, but these guys from Cyprus and Cyrene, they were sharing with the good news with people of Antioch, with these Greeks. And word got back to Jerusalem. You know, there wasn't a Facebook post. There was no email. Okay, so, but whatever was going on there, the specifics of it, word got back to Jerusalem. And so the leaders in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to check it out. Okay, and what's going on? Is this legit? You know, is this a good thing? What's happening here? And so Barnabas went, of course, and he saw it, and he said, yeah, this is great. God is working here. And then Barnabas went and got Paul and helped out. But really the emphasis here is not about Barnabas or Paul. They came along after things were already growing like gangbusters, you know. They helped to consolidate the growth, but it wasn't about Barnabas or Paul, and probably none of us maybe can aspire to be a Barnabas or a Paul, but we can be one of them. We can be one of these no-name disciple makers. We know that this church that was founded, it was a church that responded to physical needs. Later in the chapter, there is a famine that is learned about in Jerusalem, and so they collect funds and send it down to Jerusalem to help the believers there. It was a church that responded to spiritual needs. In Acts 13, you have the sending of Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey. So it was this church of Antioch that became the missionary sending base. Not Jerusalem, but Antioch. Antioch became the missionary sending base, the church that was started by these no-name disciple makers. Well, as we wrap this up this morning and get ready to go across the way here to the TCC day, how can we emulate these no-name disciple makers? How do we apply this to our lives in the here and now? Certainly, we need to pray. Everything starts with prayer. We appreciate all those of you who've been praying with us and for us for years right here from TCC. And as you pray for your neighbors, you pray for your family members, you pray for the ministries of the church, that is essential and foundational. Beyond prayer, what else can we do? I would challenge you to develop or have some audacity, or maybe some people call it chutzpah, to cross a cultural barrier this week, large or small, you know, or this month. It might mean hosting an international student who it might be very difficult to communicate with, but they would probably love to get to know you and meet an American family and eat some good home-cooked food, and it would be an opportunity for you to share Jesus' love with them. It might simply be, you know, saying hello to that neighbor or coworker with the weird haircut and the funky bumper sticker, you know. It might be that. It could be a lot of different things. It could be going on a short-term mission trip, maybe. I met a gentleman here this morning. He's going to Zambia this week. I forgot his name, but you could come to Senegal in the future. Or there's lots of different ways. You know, perhaps it is really taking the time to go across the way here and see, where is God leading me? How does God want me to serve at TCC in the coming year? Lots of different ways that we can do this. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this example that we have in the book of Acts. Thank you for these people from Cyprus and Cyrene, Lord, who reached out across cultural barriers, Lord, who took your mission personally. They didn't lay low or hide in a corner, Lord. They shared about you. They shared their lives, even with those people who were very different from them. Lord, thank you for how you worked there in Antioch to bring many to yourself. And we pray, Lord, that you would work through this body of Christ, Lord, and may your hand be with TCC and with each member of this body, Lord. Work through us this week, this month, and in the coming year to accomplish your purposes, Lord, to serve in your kingdom, to play the role you would have us to play on this working fishing boat that you've called us to. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.